webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less than Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution. And now, here's Glenn Klein online.
Love that beat. Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It's hump day, Wednesday, December 29, 2010. The only last Wednesday of 2010 and the last webcast for 2010 in the history of the world. Welcome in on this chilly night, at least in the U.S. of A., all over the globe. We're happy to have you with us. And I want to encourage you to participate early and often. If you do want to get online with us, we encourage you to do it quickly, because maybe a busier night than we've had in the last week or so. So give us a call, 1-800-436-3260. Everybody is ensconced, ready to do their thing. Sean O'Halloran in the studio at 1-800-436-3260. We'll take your comments, your questions. We've got lots to talk about. As always, Sean in the studio and in the home offices of the Gospel Revolution, the president, the founder, the Grand Poobah is waiting to greet you, Mr. Michael Williams. Michael!
Hey, Glenn. So you're getting used to a little bit of cold weather in Florida.
Got to keep the boys in on nights like tonight.
This is, well, you know, one thing is that I'm not sitting on the tarmac in New York City for 12 hours waiting to get,
oh my God,
get off the plane.
What a
Oh my!
I mean, can you
know,
imagine? What were you saying?
Yeah, I think our connection has got us delaying on each other here. I have traveled an awful big portion of my life, and then you know, when I have traveled, I've traveled a lot. And I really do not have a nightmare scenario about flying. The longest I was ever stuck in a plane, and it wasn't going anywhere, was in Atlanta in a Delta flight. After they closed the doors, we had to sit on the tarmac for an hour before the plane could back away. And the the pilot said heads were going to roll at Delta. I've never lost luggage, never lost a piece of luggage. It's been really not too bad. And flying's not the way it used to be. It used to be kind of fun, but now it's so encumbered that you don't get. I still enjoy flying, but you know, there's a lot of extra baggage, if you will.
Well, at least they take a credit card for cocktails on board now, so you don't have to have exact change. Remember that? And you always had to have exact money for...
At least they appreciated exact money.
They appreciated it. Now they don't even take cash. They got the little portable credit card machine. But, you know, you're talking about perspective, and I remember the first time I went to Israel, and I went to the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem. And one of the things that you see whenever you see images of the Holocaust is people waiting in line. They waited in line to be checked in when they were initially arrested and put into the ghettos. They waited in line to get on the trains. They waited in line to get into the concentration camps. They waited in line as they went to the gas chambers. After that, I determined in my heart that I wasn't going to complain anymore about waiting anywhere. And so these things have a tendency of, if you embrace them, to set your perspective right. Last night, I volunteered with our youngest daughter, Gracie, at a homeless shelter. Gracie needed to do some community service for some trouble she got in, and it was actually a little bit of overkill, in my humble opinion, but suffice it to say, without going into great detail, that she had to do 10 hours of community service at the ripe old age of 14. So I went with her, and we went to volunteer to this homeless shelter, and this homeless shelter fed, I would say, probably about 60 to 70 people, and this is in suburban Tampa, beautiful humans. And here are the people during the week between Christmas and New Year's, and this is where they were going for dinner. And so it was really a good reality check for, I'm sure, everybody that was there that was serving. But it's sponsored by a church, and after the initial pleasantries, Michael, the fellow that was in charge, retired Air Force guy, very nice guy, the first thing that he asked me was, where do you go to church? And so I thought, this is just too good of an open door. So I said, we don't go. We quit. And he said, why? And I said, because I realized many years ago that we are the church, and that the church is not a building or a structure or an institution. That opened up an ongoing two-hour conversation about the gospel that was fantastic, was able to direct him to the website and to the webcast. And as I shared with him the truth of the gospel, in terms that he is a man who was familiar with the Bible, had been in church most of his life, really could understand and relate to, and I was amazed, other than some folding of the arms, which indicated from a body language standpoint that he was a little closed off a few times, I was amazed how open this guy actually was.
Yeah, you know, it's a different day. It's not 5 years ago. It's not 10 years ago. We are getting ready to start the second decade of a whole new millennium. And my goodness, it's a really or a whole new century. It's just really amazing that the atmosphere changes as you go along. You know, what could not be said a year ago can be said now, and you know, what was even thought 10 years ago that wasn't even a thought is, you know, becomes a thought, and then it becomes an expression. And the next thing you know, there's more people thinking that way than what you think.
Well, I don't know that he was thinking that way, but he certainly did not get offended. He certainly was warm and very kind to both me and Gracie. And it was a very positive experience. I don't know that they were thrilled, because we have to go back on New Year's Eve to do some more hours. I don't know that they were thrilled with me when I asked, would there be a pony keg and some champagne for the people on New Year's Eve?
Yeah, I can imagine.
A couple of them got a kick out of it, I think. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's Gospel Revolution Wednesday night. We have much to discuss. We want to hear from you. Give us a call. The phone line is available right now, 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. If you're listening live and it's about 10 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock on the east coast of the U.S. of A, that is your clue and cue to give us a call. 800-436-3260. It's toll-free. Anywhere in the United States and Canada. And if you want to call and you're listening in another country, you can call 813-425-5773. 813-425-5773. We'd love to hear from you. Well, we're going to talk, Michael, about the situation we mentioned in the email. About the Jimmy Swaggart satellite network and what we discovered this week, talking about why it is such a tremendous example, even more so than most of the Christianese and the absolute crapola that we hear and see on Christian radio and television and on the internet. We're going to get into that, folks, and you're not going to want to miss that. It's a very powerful understanding of why that is so important. And I initially put on my Facebook that what a great example of Christian legalistic crap that it was, and how much that I thank God for it. And a guy that was the youth pastor of our old church in Wisconsin Facebooked me back, and he said, you know, I understand what you're saying about swagger. He said, but I don't understand why you would thank God for it. Well, we'll get into that in a little bit. But we also want to remind you that if you're listening live or on the archive, you can always email us your questions and comments at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. That email address is webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Here's a comment from George Howell, who's freezing his tuchus off in Pennsylvania, although he is excited with both the Steelers, I know, going to the playoffs, as well as the Penguins in first place. George, big sports fan there in Pittsburgh, PA. Penguins going to be outside playing the Washington Capitals on New Year's Day at Heinz Field in the Winter Classic of the NHL. And Ken Kemp just got a little bit moist just hearing about that, I'm sure. But this is what George Howell says. He says, gentlemen, all will not be saved, but all are redeemed. The Redeemer came to redeem all, not to save all. If you know of your complete redemption, then you will believe. Until you know of your complete redemption, you are in hell. The hell of double-mindedness being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine that is preached by the Jesus pimps in the pulpit of perpetuity who self-promote their puke-filled doctrine of an incomplete work. Okay, now, he says, now on with our regularly scheduled program. Peace, Geo. That was one of the points that I brought up to the gentleman at the homeless shelter yesterday, was the incredibly important difference between redemption and salvation. George is right. All are redeemed. Not all will be saved in this life, Michael.
No, and the thing of it is, the process of salvation, it's will anyone be what I mean, can you set a degree on how saved you are? Salvation is not a goal to achieve. It's a process to experience. And
right.
It will never stop. It doesn't make any difference. If I lived 300 years, I would still be experiencing the salvation of my soul. And, you know, the thing that what we need to be careful about is trying to quantify what a saved soul is. It's just a process. No matter where you are, it is just as wonderful to experience salvation if you've just been freed from the law, or if you've gotten to the point to where that things that used to bother you and get you really upset don't upset you anymore. It's all salvation, and it should be treasured and respected not only by us who are experiencing it, but by in others who are experiencing it. Whatever point of salvation they're at, whatever point of salvation is being experienced, we ought to really encourage one another, you know. And my salvation today is not your salvation, and everyone's salvation is a constant, ongoing, beautiful experience that doesn't have a goal in mind. It is
right.
It's just walking it out.
Exactly. Well, I've got more to say about salvation when we will do that as we have an opportunity. But we must go to the phone lines right now. For some reason, I was encouraged to give the local number out so that folks around the globe who weren't in the U.S. or Canada could call in, and I don't think I've ever done that, or at least not for a while. And sure enough, our dear sister from Australia, the lyricist is calling in. Kate Batum. Kate!
Hi! How are you, Glenn and Mike?
Oh, it's so Kate, good to hear your voice. We're doing well.
It's good to hear you, dear.
It's good to hear your voices, too. Yeah, I just wanted to call in because it's the last webcast for 2010, and just because I met you both this year, and it was just such a fun time we had, and we met so many of the gospel revolutionaries while we were here. So just wanted to say thank you so much for the gospel. We just love you so much, and you've just changed our lives, and thank you so much for patiently feeding us the gospel every week. It is the saving of our souls, and you're right, it's just increasing and enlarging every day, I think, and you're right, it's an ongoing process that I guess has no end, but it's a wonderful, wonderful trip. So thank you. We love you so much.
Hey, Kate, you also got to meet, speaking of revolutionaries, you got to meet George and Bonnie Howell, speaking of GEO.
Yep.
That was quite a night with your boy
that
Jeff.
That was so fun. I wish we could go back and do it all again.
Well, come on.
I know. I want you.
The sushi's waiting. And the s'mores.
And it's really wild, though, Kate, to think that it has just been this year that we met. It seems like I've known you all my life.
I know. Yeah, well, I've been listening
That's
to you
really
for a while.
That's really amazing.
So I felt that.
I was kind of shocked when you said that it was just this year that we met. It was like, wow, that's true. That's just like,
it was
only
a few months
so
ago.
Odd.
Yep.
Wow.
How's Jeff doing?
Good, yes, he's here too. He'd like to say hello also. So, yeah,
well, and I need to tell you that, all right, well, I need to tell you that Jeff Robertson over here in the States is very happy to hear your voice live as well.
Ah, thank you. Hi, Jeff. Love you. Yeah,
all
thanks.
Right.
Miss you guys so much.
All right, Kate.
You too,
Would you
Kate.
Like to say hi to Jeff?
Very much
He would
so.
Like to say hi to you. Here he is.
Hello there, young lads.
Hello, mate.
Hey, Jeff.
We miss you guys.
Oh, my God. We miss you guys, too. You know what? I think here's what we should do. We should have a compound, a Gospel Revolution compound, where people could just come and stay for a while. So we need somebody to, and it's got to be in the Caribbean somewhere where it's warm all the time and nice. And then people just could come and stay, and then we wouldn't have
That'd
to leave
great,
each other so quickly. That'd be a party.
It'd be very, very good, Glenn.
How are you feeling?
Good. I've recovered from the smog attack of the sugar and everything like that, and I've come out of hospital. I'm all right now. No, good, really good. Hello
oh,
to
awesome
George
to
and Bonnie as well, and to that young curly-headed Jeff Robertson boy. And Jackie Barnard and everyone there.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Jeff, so much. I know they all are glad to hear you. It's wonderful to hear your voice again and know that you guys are all right. I was thinking about you guys today while it is blustery and very cool here in Texas right now. I was thinking, I bet Jeff, and I know you guys were dreading going back to Australia because it was cold when you left here in the middle of summer here. And but I was just thinking, I bet those guys are nice and toasty and warm today.
Oh, look, it's beautiful, Mike, where we are. If you look at Kate's first album cover, we're just down the road from it. And it's just beautiful. We overlook a beautiful valley, and, oh, it's incredible. Couldn't ask for a better place, you know. It's just something that
I'm feeling.
Now, the Gospel Revolution has been fantastic for us, too. And I just think today, you know, that when you become, might sound a bit weird to some people, when you become unconscious of who you are, then you're the most natural. And I'm not trying to look in the mirror of Corinthians anymore. I know who I am. And it's not a reality that I have to try and find every day. It's a reality that is just a fact. And that's so beautiful about the gospel, isn't it? The good news.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it is to have the old image destroyed completely, and to understand just who you are. It's like you say, you don't have to try to conjure that up again every day. There is the essence of the gospel that replaces the old way of thinking and substitutes that and replaces it completely. And even though there's an ongoing process that will never end, there are some absolute wonderful things that you never have to rethink again. It's like you're on automatic pilot for a great deal of this. That's a wonderful thing.
Yes, beautiful.
And one of the great things, Michael, that you said before Kate and Jeff called was, as we were talking about salvation, that, and this ties into what you said, Jeff, is that it is not a goal to be attained. It's just something to experience on a moment-by-moment, hour-by-hour, day-by-day basis. And Paul said it this way. He said the soul is being cleansed. The mind is being renewed. How many times a day do we need that? A lot. And so, of course, this is not a goal. This is something to experience. This is something to marvel at. This is something to be grateful for and to be thankful for. But Jeff, that's fantastic. You know, you're not looking into the mirror of Corinthians anymore. And Michael, what you said about the image has been destroyed. We were not, and this is something that's so powerful. And I was so happy to tell the gentleman last night at the soup kitchen. I said, we were not born into sin. We were born into righteousness. And we were not born in the image of God. We were not created in the image of God. We were created in God. What a difference. What a difference.
Yeah, big one. Definitely a big one. I can hear Jeff just enjoying that. When Jeff hears truth, it's like he just tasted a nice pastry.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing 14 hours a day, making pastries.
I heard that. I'm going to have to fly over just so I can experience it.
Oh, no, this is silly season now.
Yeah.
It's crazy times.
Do the people in Australia go as nuts around Christmas and New Year's as we do in the U.S.?
Yeah, they do. I don't like Christmas, personally. I think someone should blow things up.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan.
Because it's always been a busy time. Same with Easter, too, you know. I don't know why people get just don't like it. So I enjoy life. I enjoy living. I miss you guys so much. Even Glenn, he's nearly a human being, but he's a lovely man.
What time is it there?
Oh, you ask hard questions, Glenn. It's about 1:30 in the afternoon.
So it's Thursday.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's safe to say that. We can safely say that the rapture has not occurred on December 30th either, because it's already December 30th.
Well, we are in an undisclosed place, Glenn. Which I can't really tell you.
All right, my brother from another mother. Hey, you guys.
I know that you guys are somewhere left behind there in time.
That's what it is. We're left behind.
Yeah, what's if someone said, kiss my left behind?
All right, dude. Hey, stay in touch,
okay.
All right? We could call us once in a while. That was great that you guys called.
Okay,
love you guys.
See you later.
Good night, Jeff.
Bye-bye.
Actually, good afternoon. There's Jeff and Kate Benham from Australia. And you need to check out Kate's album, too. Go to her website, Kate Benham, Benham. You are what you've been searching for. And one of the great things, Michael, about this past year, as we do an impromptu year in review, was starting to hear the gospel sung back to us through Kate, the poetry of Jackie Bernard. This has been a huge blessing in this past year.
It has indeed. I remember hearing Kate's lyrics the very first time, and then of course Jackie's poems have just been amazing, and other people have contributed so much during this year of their understanding and their inspiration to the gospel, and I just sit back and marvel. I do reflect back, and I remember standing in those churches trying to eke out just a small element of truth about the gospel, and the people yielding to it in such a beautiful way, and then the pastor and the elders and the deacons getting so furious, and to come to this point now to where that I'm the one that is sitting and listening to so many people who are so enlightened by the simple truth of the gospel, and they're learning things that I never knew. And it's just amazing to me. It is just literally amazing.
Yeah, it's fantastic, and it's such a pleasure to have the gospel bring all these people together. We've mentioned this so far on this show, George and Bonnie Howell from Pennsylvania, Jeff Robertson, of course, came into our life big time this year. They're in Houston, about to be back in Florida. And speaking of Florida, let us go to Daytona now online with Mr. Michael Cole. Michael!
Howdy.
So happy to hear from you, my brother, from another mother.
Glenn and I were having a fun little instant message on Facebook, so I thought I would call.
Awesome. It's good to hear from you.
Yes. Good to be heard, and glad to hear from you guys. Right now, I'm actually looking through my Facebook pictures. Glenn wanted Glenn's a big hockey fan, and I remembered that my son had a picture with some of the Avalanche players with the Stanley Cup. So I'm trying to search through my pictures, but I'm not having any luck. So,
well, if it comes up, I would be honored to have that be my profile picture for a while.
Yeah, that's what you mentioned. Yeah.
Even though it was the Colorado Avalanche that won the Stanley Cup that year, that was Ray Bourque's team. You guys were living in Colorado at the time, Mike?
Yeah. My son was he was actually at Children's Hospital and getting cancer treatment, and the Avalanche came by and. He got a picture of him in the wheelchair with all bald, you know, neutropenic from the treatment and all the players around. It was really cool. So
That was what, about 10 years ago?
Yeah. Yeah, because he got sick 2001. So, geez, yeah, almost 10 years ago.
Woo. Wow. And he's doing well now?
Yeah. Yeah, he's living in Colorado. We're planning on moving back there and doing fine.
And awesome. where were you vis-a-vis the gospel, Mike, at the time?
Nowhere in the neighborhood.
were you in the church and praying for healing and all that stuff?
No, I guess I was in between. I had left a legalistic church and was just kind of in no man's land or whatever. But I didn't know the gospel at the time, that's for sure.
Do you remember how you came across the Gospel Revolution?
Oh, yeah. A friend of mine heard about it. Somebody in Chicago from way back when, Wade? Does that ring a bell, Mike?
Doesn't to me. From Chicago. Last name Wade, right?
Or it could be first name.
Not in Chicago, no.
dusting off the cobwebs.
We had a Wade Brewer from Canada.
No, this was a pastor at some kind of Word of Faith church. I mean, this is way back when. And he's one of my best friends that knew you, Mike, from his Word of Faith days, and then he left. And then he picked up one of your tapes, and after, you know, when you discovered the gospel and really changed his life, and then he shared the tapes with me, and then the rest is history, as it were. So,
you know, I would really love to get a head count as to how many pastors, through hearing the gospel, moved on, you know, and moved on with their lives. And, you know, in the Word of Faith movement in particular, you probably remember, Mike, if you were in that particular branch, we were taught that we were all in a process of getting in God's will, but unless you were in full-time ministry, the only people who were in God's perfect will were those who were in full-time ministry, and even then you may not be there. But so everybody had a goal of being in full-time ministry, and a lot of people became pastors and you know, went to Bible schools trying to become missionaries, and leaving their heart's desire of their own work and their own vocation and their own talents and abilities behind, trying to pursue the will of God. And this is probably another one of those pastors that did the same thing. But boy, we got a lot of them out there, that's for sure. Just a lot of them. I know Wade Brewer, who was pastor in the Pentecostal church. This is just my friends in Canada. And then Rowan Raphael, who was pastoring a church, had left his longtime job as an air traffic controller, and then the gospel came in and blew up, and he got out and was able to get his job back and eventually retired from his position as air traffic controller. With his retirement intact, thank goodness. But it'd be amazing to find out how many pastors have been affected. And then, of course, we got our sweetest pastor we've ever had around down in Alabama, who calls in and still pastoring a church in Alabama that still keeps us posted and has a question for us every week. Just amazing people.
Yeah, you might. I don't know if you know his sister and brother-in-law. Let's see, Ken and Connie Shriver. I don't know if you
Ken
know.
Ken and are they from Chicago?
Yeah, from that area, I think.
It's not ringing a bell, but boy, back then.
Well,
days,
we'll play Gospel Revolution trivia. Or what is it?
Does Michael remember? Let's get away from that.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Well, the answer is generally no. But that doesn't mean that something cannot jog his memory. Hey, so when are you moving back to Colorado?
As soon as I get a transfer approved. So we're hoping by the end of January. How smart is that?
Where in Colorado, do you know?
The Boulder area.
Oh,
well, I got a buddy of mine who moved there from Tampa. He's a real estate agent. So if you don't have an agent, I might be able to hook you up if you're looking for a place.
I figure it'd be a good area for a good left winger like me, Boulder area.
Yeah, you are. You and George Howell, man, you are two left wing pinko whack jobs. Oh my God! You know, I'll tell you, and I thank God for it, because here we've got a libertarian like myself. We got right wing nutcases, we got left wing nutcases, and but it's a beautiful thing to be one in Christ and not be characterized and identified in our political stance or our taste in music or our cuisine or our preference in food or our sexual orientation or our national origin or even, God forbid, the sports teams we cheer for.
Yeah, it's, you know, really it is amazing that the gospel is not politically hamstrung at all. It's, I was thinking about how that the Republicans are always talking about we've got a big tent, and then the Democrats say, we got a big tent, and we're going to make our tent bigger, but hey, neither tent is as big as the Gospel Revolution tent, because we encompass all of them. There's, nobody's left out. You can have any political persuasion you want and have somebody healthy enough to talk to you about it too, so, and disagree with you if you want, all inside the same tent. It really is an amazing thing. So.
Yeah, that's what I love about it. There's no litmus test. I don't have to be a registered pro-life Republican in order to join the church. And I don't have to find some other church where Democrats are allowed, you know?
Yeah.
Right. Well, there's not many of those left, so you're lucky you found the Gospel Revolution, Mike.
Yes.
All right, dude. Well, listen, please send me that picture and stay in touch, all right?
All right. Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work.
Thanks so much for calling tonight.
See ya.
There's Mike Kolb from Daytona, Florida, on his way to... You ever been to Boulder, Colorado?
It's so lovely. It's one of the most beautiful places I've ever been.
Oh, my God. It is just phenomenal. God, is it nice out there.
Yeah, it's like looking at creation right in front of you. It's just an amazing place, really. It's just utterly amazing.
Well, we've heard from Australia. We've heard from Daytona Beach. Will we hear from you tonight? We've got less than half an hour left. We want to hear from you at 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260, or... And now I'm encouraged to do this. If you're listening outside the U.S. or Canada, the local number is 813-425-5773. 813-425-5773. Let us hear from you when we return on the last webcast of 2010 on the Gospel Revolution Radio Network.
Gospel issue number one, sin.
The issue of sin is big, that because of one man's sin, that God took that sin and charged it against everybody's account. We didn't do what Adam did, but we became what Adam was. If Adam is called the first Adam and Jesus is called the last Adam, my mind must remain arrested to this comparison. By one man's sin, all were made sinners. And that by one man's obedience, all have been made righteous. All of you that have believed, know that you know that feeling and that sense of relief from sin. You know that feeling very well. My challenge to you is that you could have that every day of your life without ever addressing sin again. Ever.
Any questions? Go to GospelRevolution.com and order Gospel 101 now. Available in singles or discount multi-packs of 10, 25, and 50 CDs. If you don't ask any questions, you're not going to get any answers.
You don't even have to ever address the issue of sin again. Ever.
That's so good. I tell you, I was sitting there.
Oh, my God. That background music I like. I want to thank Robert Moore and Matt Perry for their help producing that. This is a great night. This is our Christmas Eve celebration, folks. And I hope you are enjoying. If you are listening live, we're encouraging you to call at 800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260, or if you're outside the U.S. or Canada, I can say if you're outside North America, call 813-425-5773. 813-425-5773. If you're listening on the archive, as we know most of the people at last count in the 71 countries that we are touching around the globe do listen on the archive, always feel free to email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. The webcast is the number one way that we address your questions. This is one of the reasons that we have the webcast. So just email us questions, comments, insight, insults. 1-800-436-3260 is the number. webcast@gospelrevolution.com is the email address. And, Michael, we have an email from Christopher Reed from Portland, Oregon. He's got two questions, and the first one is, what part, if any, does the gospel play in the cycle of life? And kind of connected to that, he says, how has the understanding of the gospel influenced how you guys deal with the news of a loved one's terminal diagnosis? So this is, maybe Chris, I don't know, is dealing with something like that right now. But obviously there are many cycles of life, a lot of suffering, a lot of trial and tribulation, and then, of course, the end of life, which is the ultimate conclusion for all of our cycles of life. But this is a great question, Michael, and we've talked about this a lot vis-a-vis the psychology of the gospel. But how does the gospel affect one's perspective as we go through this life, and specifically if you're dealing with the terminal diagnosis of a loved one?
Well, regardless of what you believe, grief is still grief, sorrow is still sorrow, loss is still loss, joy is still joy. These things are constants about life. They're not there all the time, but they are constant in the fact that they will be a part of every person's life that exists any period of time to speak of on this planet. I think the and when it comes to things like this, all I can do is speak from a personal experience. I can tell you what Paul says about the grace of God and the what the grace of God does. It renews the mind, it saves the soul. So I can tell you there's a process, I believe, of growing in grace, that it affects the heart, the feelings, the emotions. It even affects the way that we think. So a loss is a loss. The feeling of loss is going to be the feeling of loss. However, the thing that I have become persuaded of is that the heart, not the gospel, but the heart is designed by God to incur and to suffer through and to recover from loss, all loss. It's designed to do that. Now, it's there's two factors here. There's the disabling effect of religion upon the heart and its ability to, when loss is incurred, to endure it and especially to recover from it. I believe that religion, I think religion, number one, makes the loss greater. Now you might ask, how could religion make the loss of a loved one greater? When it puts into question whether you sinned or they sinned, or did your prayer work or did it not work, had you fasted enough, had you done something right, had you obeyed God, if you had been in the will of God, nobody can tell me that that mindset doesn't make loss as compounded to the nth degree that it possibly can be. When you remove that, grief is just grief. When you apply the gospel, where religion has been taken out, that has caused regular grief, what every human being, whether it's a loss that is suffered because of grief, because of the death or the possible death of a loved one, or the loss of your job or a relationship, loss and grief are just a part of this experience on earth. So first off, we want to make sure that people have extricated from their hearts, as the gospel is so capable of doing, of removing all of this compounding thought and emotion process of in when loss is incurred. The gospel, on the other hand, instead of compounding the effect of loss, number one, let me go back. Not only does religion compound the loss, the ability to suffer through it is affected, and it intensifies the suffering. I believe that with all of my heart, because the regret, then what settles in after the accusatory nature of religion has had its role in the loss, then it also sets in as far as not allowing you to move on. You get stuck. And so the heart can't recover from the loss. The heart can't do what it was made by God to do. I firmly believe that the heart was designed by God to incur, to endure, and to recover from all loss in this life. I've watched it happen. I've watched people also have loss that they incurred, and they never get over it. They just never get over it. I used to be one of those people, and I know what that's like. Yesterday, I had a day of remembrance, if you will. Yesterday was 44 years since my mother passed away. I was 14 years old at the time. And I can tell you by experience that the thoughts when I stood outside that hospital room and heard my mother take her last breaths 44 years ago last evening, I knew I was responsible for her death. I was 14 years old, and I knew that it was my sin. I knew that it was my homosexuality. Nobody knew anything about this. I knew that my mother had died because I was gay. I just knew that. I knew that if I had been able to to overcome these feelings and emotions and desires and to be a, quote, normal person, that God would have answered my prayers, or that God wouldn't be punishing me by taking my mother away from me. That grief lasted intensely for many years. To be able to, I look back now and you say, well, you ought to be over it after 44 years. You got to realize there's people that after 50 years can't mention a loss that they've had because of the inability to recover from it. The gospel, on the other hand, doesn't take away the initial feeling of loss. Loss is loss, and grief is grief. But the one thing the gospel does is that it is the helper of the heart. Now, if the heart is designed to suffer, endure, and recover from loss, then the gospel is going to help the heart do what it was intended to do. It will help the heart, the gospel, because you say, well, how can the gospel do that? Number one, it destroys this other system that causes a 14-year-old boy to think that masturbation was the reason that his mother had to die. And I mean that very seriously, that these thought patterns are there in people's lives. And that it would remove all of that, and therefore you deal with nothing but the loss. You see, it's cruel. It's inhumane to go through a loss and then have the very belief system that you turn to be the thing that compounds your suffering. And that is something that I will work with everything that's within me for the rest of the days that I live, is to see people freed from this compounded effect that loss has when there is the influence of religion and absence of the gospel. I know that it's hard for us to understand that the opposing forces here, basically what we're talking about, because you see in Christianity we're taught the difference is that the things that are at odds, it's Jesus and the devil, you know, it's sin and righteousness. And I know it's kind of strange to hear somebody say that the opposing forces here are actually religion, i.e. Christianity in all of most of our experiences, Christianity versus the gospel, and the oppressiveness that Christianity can bring, promising relief, causing you to even act like sometimes that you don't experience any grief at all, but in many cases just delaying the inevitable surge of tidal wave that comes later on. But the gospel really does support the heart. The heart,
right,
and
I think that that is such an important point. And here's the thing, Christopher. The gospel is the power of God. However, if one does not meditate upon the gospel on a consistent basis, what do I mean by meditate? The word meditate, like all the other words in the scriptures and in the Bible, actually mean things. And it's important for us to know what they mean if we're going to consider or contemplate them as a valid text to consider. Meditate means to mutter, to talk about. It's nothing more surreal or more ethereal than that. It's to talk about. And Paul said it this way, that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that you will be saved, and rose on the third day, you will be saved. Well, what was he saying? He was saying that if you meditate on this gospel, this reality of the Lamb of God taking away the sin of the world, and therefore your sin, that you'll have your soul cleansed and your mind renewed. And we cannot encourage all of our listeners, all of our friends, enough to stay in the gospel, whatever that means for you. Obviously, we've got a webcast. We've got almost 4 years of archive webcasts. We've got every conceivable subject matter covered on the CD teachings that are available on the website. We have telephone numbers available to talk to you. You have friends to talk to. It doesn't make a difference how or when or where you talk about the gospel, as long as you're talking about it and hearing it, because for some reason that's how it works. It's not good enough, as far as the process is concerned, to go through the suffering and the loss that Michael talks about, and allowing the heart to be healed and to endure suffering and trials and tribulation. It's not enough just to know of the gospel. Why it works this way, who the hell knows? I have no idea. But it's akin to knowing how to work out and how to exercise and eat properly, and not doing it expecting that just knowing about it will somehow benefit you going through this life. It won't work. I tried it. It don't work. So this is nothing to, by any means, there's no condemnation here. Whether you listen to the gospel, talk about the gospel, meditate the gospel, you are no closer to God whether you do or don't. But Michael, the fact of the matter is that if a person puts the gospel aside as far as a regular thought process and discussion in their lives, they will not be saved during the moments where, frankly, we need salvation the most.
Yeah, absolutely. And here again, let me put a little curb in here as my want. I believe that all of these things are effective in the heart. The one thing that I want to make sure that nobody misunderstands is that when you see somebody in grief, that is not a time to step back and judge whether or not they've got enough gospel in them or not. That's time to come alongside. That's time to help, to be the friend, to be the someone that can comfort them. We must understand, it's never my goal to evaluate the gospel in your life. the only place that I could evaluate the law was in my own life. The moment I started using the law to evaluate somebody else's life, I had violated the law. I believe the same concept carries over into the gospel. The only way I can evaluate the effect of the gospel is on my life. I don't have a right to evaluate the effect of the gospel in your life, whether or not it is being effective or not, because it may be effective exactly where you need to be, because I don't know where you are. I don't know exactly where
right.
you are.
And the thing that we have observed, folks, is that when the gospel is permeating a person's soul, and they come alongside somebody who is in grief or who is in trouble, you're automatically or supernaturally or stealthily, you're just there to support. It's
yeah.
not natural in those moments, unless somebody brings up God, or like I was talking about earlier in the program, brings up where do you go to church, it's not normal to bring up God in those situations. It's not normal to bring up the gospel. It's normal just to be there to support. One of the greatest things
yeah.
that I have learned when people go through suffering is just, you know, people always say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I say what the truth is, it sucks.
Yeah.
I think it actually, I think it might have been Mike Cole earlier today reported on Facebook that his godfather passed away suddenly at the age of 60. I think it was Mike. And my response, because this is just my heart. I'm responding out of my heart. I said, that sucks. Now, that's me. But far from judging where somebody is in the gospel during these moments, that's what a Christian would do. Where are you with
yeah.
the Lord? That's bullshit, folks. That is the furthest thing from where a person's heart is when the gospel is front and center, like the frontlet between their eyes that the scripture talks about, that the religious Jews literally put the phylactery, the box of scripture. You've seen the religious Jews with the box right between their eyes. That is a foreshadowing of the gospel permeating and impacting one's heart. This is Glenn Klein Online. This is Michael Williams, Gospel Revolution, last one of the year. We've got a few more things to talk about, and a guy that understands a lot of what we've been saying in the last few minutes has been waiting online patiently. It's time, ladies and gentlemen, for the last segment of The Pastor Asks for 2010. Let us go to Decatur, Alabama. Pastor Ted!
Good evening, sirs. How are you?
Thanks
hey,
for
Ted.
Being patient.
Good evening. Hey, I don't have a question for tonight, just a couple of comments. I've been traveling on the road.
Wait, Ted. Hold on for a second. I got to check. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the pastor comments on
well,
the gospel.
Okay, well, there you go.
Right,
hey, I was enjoying, Glenn, what you were saying about meditating, muttering, which also means to chew on. I found out years ago, over 14 years ago, I was preaching the gospel and didn't even know what I was doing. But I found out something. I thought about it all day, chewed on it, thought about it. I found out I didn't have to work on it. I'd wake up in the mornings, something fresh would be in my mind. I finally woke up. I said, well, I don't have to work on this. It's working on me.
Yeah.
So, you know, I really woke me up. I said, man, I don't have to do nothing but just enjoy it. So anyways, with that, I appreciate that comment. And somebody said earlier about the gospel pastors quitting and or getting run off, fired. I decided years ago, I'm never going to quit. I tell my folks often, jokingly, but they know I'm not. They didn't hire me, so they can't fire me. But if they ask me to leave, I tell them, well, you know I would. But I'll never quit. Even if it's two or three
yeah.
couples in my house, I'm going to do this. So anyways,
yeah.
You know, I just appreciate the gospel. It will work in you. You don't have to work on it. Just every day say, thank you, Jesus. For 14 years or longer, I said, Jesus plus nothing. And I've had good reception, had good response. And by the way, I'm passing out the gospel 101s as fast as I can.
Awesome.
And I got 3 or 4 appointments set up to talk to some pastors and elders and this sort of thing. So everything's on the up and up here, guys. And I just
that's great to hear.
Let you know I haven't forsaken you. I've just been on the move.
All right. Well, we're glad to hear from you.
I appreciate you. Keep it up.
Happy New Year, Pastor Todd.
You have a wonderful New Year.
You too.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
All right. So that's our Gospel Revolution pastor.
Yeah.
We have what did Ambergy call himself? Not the ambassador. He didn't want to be the worship leader. The chancellor. He's the chancellor of the Gospel Revolution. You're the president and founder. I'm the court jester. Jeff Robertson is the minister of defense. Oh, man, this is great. All right, so it's straight up 10 o'clock on the East Coast. We've got a few more minutes. If we got a line available if you can call us. We haven't even got into the whole swagger thing, and we have to. So we'll give you a couple minutes to get in. Give us a call, 800-436-3260. We'll get you on. Sean just said an expletive, I'm sure. 1-800-436-3260. We're going overtime at the last webcast of 2010. 800-436-3260. Let's see, Kate Benham is our lyricist. Jackie Bernard is our poet laureate. George Howell, what is George Howell? He's our barrister, I think. Richard Mull is our Secretary of Agriculture. Folks, email us.
I think Richard had a different title.
What was Richard's title?
I can't remember. That wasn't it, though. But, anybody wants a title, just let us know.
Right. Let us know what your title is. Everybody gets a title. We're all the most holy reverend, of course. That's a given. But we want to hear your title. And George Najjar is the Director of Health and Human Resources. And Tom Tomsky is our... postal, what's the post office guys? What do they call him?
Me.
Come on, you know, the head of the post office. No, the head. He's the,
the general. Postmaster.
Postmaster General. Postmaster General.
Yes.
It's Tom Tomsky. So let us hear from you folks at webcast at gospelrevolution.com. What's your title? Scott Johnson is our philosopher in-house philosopher. David Johnson is our Secretary of the Treasury and the guy that most looks like Jesus, without question.
We're going to have to write these down, Glenn. You're not going to remember them all.
No, I know. It's a beautiful thing, though. All right. So, you got... All right, we have got to talk about swagger, because this is powerful, folks. I was a huge Jimmy Swagger fan. In fact, when I first got saved, Swagger was one of the first programs that I turned on. This is before I knew anything about Christianity. And unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your point of view, this was my early influence in the church with Swagger's program. I was drawn to it on radio. I was drawn to it on television. Very charismatic, obviously. great television persona, and he's made his way back, not to the degree, of course, or the influence that he had, but between his dogged determination and his wife, Frances, and his son, Donnie, and his grandson, Gabriel, they have established their own 24-hour-a-day satellite network. And, Michael, I don't care what a person has done or what they're teaching or what they're doing. That's impressive. I mean, that is an impressive feat.
No doubt.
You know, regardless, I mean, you know, what guys like Hugo Chavez or Saddam Hussein have done, you got to give it up to people that just won't quit. So since Swaggart's been on, it's maybe been a month or so, I've been watching and just checking it out. It's 24/7 Swaggart, folks. And if you're familiar with Jimmy Swaggart, it's you know what you're getting all the time in the music and the preaching and the teaching and the commercials. The commercials for all the different stuff that they have at the teaching series and the Bibles and the commentaries on the Bibles. And I mean, it is just absolutely phenomenal. Now, we've been talking about the fact that he's on there and what he's teaching. But Michael, during our course of our conversation between the last webcast and this, we finally figured it out why it's so compelling compared to the other Christian crap that is in the media. Most of the Christian stuff that you hear, whether it be Kenneth Copeland or, I was going to say Vanna White, Paula White, I was going to say Bader Ginsburg, but what the hell's her name? Joyce Meyer. This is a Jewish name, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Joyce Meyer. Kenneth Copeland, Creflo Dollar. I mean, it doesn't make a difference. I mean, you could just say Rodney Howard Brown, all of them, all the guys, Pat Robertson, all the guys that are on television. Most of the stuff is about how to take the Bible, and they pull the passages out of the Scripture, not in the New Testament writings, to apply it to your life. But what Swagger does is he teaches Christian doctrine. And he said a couple of things this week that were so outrageous. The first thing that he said was that every thought... See, here's why it's so great. Because he's saying what they actually believe. He's saying what the church actually believes that they won't say in public. That's why it's so great. He said that everything you do, every action you take, every thought that you have, actually is either pulling you towards God or pulling you away from God. Every thought you have, which is, I mean, that's Christianity. He also said that every single human being, near 7 billion now on the planet, and every single human being that ever has lived or ever will live, will come face to face with Jesus Christ. And he said it might seem outlandish that there would be 7 billion people plus billions others who have lived and will live, that would be come to the judgment seat of Christ, the great white throne judgment. They were talking about it. They were teaching about the millennial reign, and will be judged, each individual on their own merits and their own faith. And he said you will either face Christ as Savior or you will face Christ as judge. It's so brazen. It's so beautiful. As I said earlier in the webcast, I thank God for it. Michael, the reason I thank God for it is the same reason that we love the law of God, because we understand what the purpose of the law is. It is to bring people to ultimate condemnation and to the end of themselves. And for the fact that Swaggart is on 24/7 with this crap is... And having more and more influence just by being on the air on Dish, on DirecTV, on cable channels, on all these radio stations now, on the internet, it is going to expedite people coming to the end of themselves and being left only with the righteousness of Christ. And as you've often said, This is why you encourage people to stay in their churches as long as they can.
Yeah, you got to let the heart have its full effect, regardless of what it is that you have chosen to bring into your heart. You will have to let your heart resolve those things for you. And yeah, I'd rather Swaggart be preaching instead of Joel Osteen, because with Joel, it is, you know, it's just kind of a social thing, and nobody is confronted with the as you said, the doctrine of Christianity, which Joel believes. Joel believes the doctrine that Jimmy preaches for the most part. I would not credit anybody with believing everything Jimmy Swaggart says. But the basic doctrines, the tenets of the faith that are preached by Jimmy Swaggart and their school and their family, Joel Osteen believes those things. But they leave all that out. So it really is better. I'd rather see the legalism preached as hard as they can preach it. What's the real intent? Instead of glossing over the top, you know. Now, if they truly did not believe these things behind the scenes, that would be one thing. But if they don't believe them, it would be nice if they would also come out and tell the truth. No one can go on Larry King now and finally say, yes, everybody that doesn't believe in Jesus is going straight to hell, because that's
I know, because Larry King's off the air now.
Larry's gone, so not one single Christian ministry in 25 years had the guts to tell the truth as to what they believe. So now, you know, what else is going to come on? You know, what else is going to go along here? But it's really good to be honest. You know, I'm glad that they're popular, and I'm glad that they are successful. Like you said, you got to take your hat off to somebody doing something so well that it makes them so so wealthy and so popular. But at the same time, you know, what Swaggart preaches is what I wish everyone was hearing, because that's what everybody's preacher believes, basically, is what Swaggart teaches very
right,
emphatically.
Right, right. And all the other extracurricular stuff where they're talking about, did Jesus go down and into the earth for 30 days? Did he go to hell and all that? So that stuff doesn't make a difference. But the true nature of sin and the relationship with God, and he talks a lot about sin. And I'll tell you something, Mikey, that if Swaggart wasn't so old, there is no doubt there would be another scandal right around the corner. And if Donnie or Gabriel doesn't get into some serious stuff before it's all over, I will be very surprised. If it doesn't come out in public, it's just because it didn't come out in public. Because
that's the thing. We'd be surprised they don't get caught. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, so, yeah, we know what's going on, man. Oh my God, the twisted stuff that must be going on behind the scenes. That, by the way, has no. All I want to do is I want to get on their talk show, because they'd have a live call, and I want to ask them. I'm going to tell them that I've got a friend who teaches the grace of God, and he says that Jimmy Swaggart, when Jimmy was with the prostitutes, was no less holy than he is right now, and that he was always perfectly righteous in the sight of the God, even when he was masturbating in front of the hose in Louisiana. Well, maybe I wouldn't say it quite like that, but I would just...
Why not?
I just
want to say it here.
Because we're all mishpacha here. We're all family here. You know, I'll be respected. I don't want to give Francis a heart attack, for God's sakes. Let alone Donnie. I mean, Donnie's as constrict. He looks about as constipated as a human being could look. Well, I hope that helped tonight, folks. We're well over time. And we did get Mike Cole has reported now his title. Mike Cole, our beautiful liberal human being in Daytona, he wants to be the Gospel Revolution Deputy Assistant General Undersecretary for the Defeat of Legalism.
That is an excellent title.
That's an excellent title, Mike.
Excellent title.
What were you going to say?
I was just agreeing. That's an excellent title.
We'll put Reverend ahead. Reverend Deputy Assistant General Undersecretary for the Defeat of Legalism. That's Mike Cole. Also, he also sent you an elf picture during the Christmas break. Did you get your elf eyes picture that Mike Culp sent?
No.
Did you see that?
Oh, yes, I did.
Did you like that with your ears and stuff? That was kind of cute, huh?
That's very cute.
Yeah, well, you're a cute guy, Mike. You're a good subject. By the way, folks, if you're not getting our e-newsletter, go to gospelrevolution.com and sign up for it. It's right on the homepage. Because it's a beautiful thing. We had juxtaposed tonight in our preview of tonight's webcast a picture of Jimmy Swaggart when he was coming before his congregation in 1988, confessing his sin, with a picture of Mike. It was a very good juxtaposition of two beautiful humans. Now, we got a question here that we're going to save for our first show of next year, but it's addressed to Dear Disc Jockeys of the Revolution.
We got another title.
Boy, Scott. We got another title. We got another title. Disc Jockeys
ding,
of
ding,
the Revolution.
Ding, ding.
I like that. It's from our boy Scotty Johnson, our philosopher, our in-house philosopher. He's like our Aristotle. The Gospel Revolution Socrates. Scott Johnson from Alaska. What a night! Hope you enjoyed it. Michael,
yes.
You have big plans for the new year?
I have none at all, as usual. I am about as exciting of a person as you would ever want to be around. If you like peace and quietness, you want to be around me.
Yeah, well, that's not what Jeff and Kate Benham would say.
I bet they would, too.
You brought your game face when they were in town. That was good. Well, I will have the exciting opportunity and the blessing of going back to the I Am Hope Cafe in Brandon, Florida, to serve more meals to the homeless with Gracie as she does penance for her... for her sin, and that's what I'm doing on New Year's Eve. So it's very exciting life, folks, here in the Gospel Revolution. Well, have fun, Mikey, no matter what you end up doing.
Yeah, Glenn, have a wonderful new year, and a new year, a very happy new year to everyone that is listening and those who will be listening. It has been a fantastic year for the Gospel Revolution. And that is attributed not just in part, but a great deal to everybody who's listening right now. And we appreciate it. There's so many people that are a part of the effort now on so many levels. It really is a very, very wide, much wider level of involvement and participation, not just financially, but goodness gracious, we have people doing things you wouldn't believe all around the world in the effort of the gospel right now. Too many to mention by name, but we appreciate all who have done all that they've done throughout this year. And it is a joint effort, and we appreciate everybody. Thank you so much. We love you, and have a wonderful new year.
No doubt. And let us hear from you this week at webcast@gospelrevolution.com, and at least let us know what your title is. What is your title in the Gospel Revolution? You can have any
title claim week.
You can have any, and you can change it. just like Ambergris, you know, Ambergris was the worship leader, and now he is the, what is he?
I told you you'd have to write it down.
No, but you said
Chancellor.
Chancellor. For some interesting reason, I can't remember that particular name. I'm not exactly sure why, folks. And we have Kate Benham, who's the minstrel and the lyricist. What does that make Jeff Benham? Jeff Benham is the pastry master, the master of the cake. All right, so that's enough for 2010. We'll call it a year. I want to thank everybody for participating and for listening. 71 countries now at our last count logging on and listening in to GospelRevolution.com. Yeah, pretty cool. Pretty freaking cool. I want to thank Jeff Robertson, the Secretary of Defense, and for doing everything that he's doing. And also, he did email me earlier, and he wanted Jeff Benham to know that that Jeff Robertson no longer has curly locks. So that's
this is true. I didn't want to be the one to break that news to everybody. So I was going to
let Jeff. He got a haircut.
He gave me the shock of my life yesterday. He was gone for a while, and then the front door opened. I swear, if I'd had a gun, I'd have shot him. Because a different human being walked in my door.
Did he do a buzz cut?
No, it is a very GQ looking haircut. It is it's just amazing. I could not believe that it was the same human being. Had he not walked in my front door, I would not have known him on the street.
Well, he's clearly getting ready to come back to the very stylish state of Florida, leaving redneck Texas. So we're happy to have him back here in the Sunshine State.
Getting rid of his redneckiness.
Exactly. All right. Well, thanks to Jeff. Thanks for Kate and Jeff Benham calling from Australia. Mike Kolb calling from Daytona, Florida. Pastor Ted, the pastor of the Gospel Revolution, calling from Georgia or from Alabama. And, of course, as always, thanks to the Gospel Revolution producer, engineer, and call screener extraordinaire. That's a great title for Sean O'Halloran.
Mm-hmm.
This is your court jester, Glenn Klein, saying, Shalom and Happy New Year, everybody.